This past Monday, the church marked the feast day of Saint Boniface. He lived in the 8th century, and although he was from what we now call Great Britain, he was called to serve the Germanic peoples. He wanted to be a Benedictine monk, but he gave up the possibility of becoming an abbot so that he could give his life to the conversion of Germanic tribes. His was a very challenging life. When he got to the German lands, he found there an uneducated clergy whose teaching was more in keeping with paganism than with Catholicism. And then he experienced something else as a bishop, that his priests and the lay people wouldn't listen to him. And so his was a period where there were many challenges, but he was tireless in his pursuit to see the conversion of the Germanic people. And indeed, the story is told, on a day when he had gone to prepare converts for their confirmation, barbaric tribes came into the area where he was, and he, along with 53 of his companions, were martyred for their faith in Jesus. One of the things that the church does when we remember a man like this is that in one of the readings that is called the Office of Readings, there's usually an excerpt from the writing of that day's saint. And so on Monday, one of the excerpts that we had was this beautiful letter that Saint Boniface had written where he talks about what it is to be a shepherd of souls. And I want to read to you the first two sentences of this letter. Saint Boniface writes, "In her voyage across the ocean of this world, the church is like a great ship being pounded by the waves of life's different stresses." I love that image. The ship, the church, is being pounded by the waves of life's different stresses. Our duty is not to abandon ship, but to keep her on her course. What great language. What an encouraging word from one of the church's saints. And today I want us to think of this image of the church being this great ship, and that the waves of life's stresses do come against us, but we are encouraged to stay on board, to stay the course through the turbulent seas of this world. And our readings for today are beautiful readings because they say three things about this, three waves that we have to be on guard for. The first is the wave of alienation. The second is the wave of affliction. And the third is the wave of apostasy. Alienation is what Genesis talks about. Affliction is what 2 Corinthians talks about, and apostasy is what our captain speaks of in that reading from the gospel. So let's think about this first word, alienation. What is an alien? Well, at best, this is someone from a foreign country. At worst, an alien are those creatures we see in horror movies wanting to overwhelm and rule the world. Well, unless you're old enough to remember E.T. Okay, because here is an extraterrestrial that is so cute and not scary. But he's the exception to the rule. Most alien movies are horror movies. And so when we think about this word alienation, what happens when we experience it? We become distant. We become fearful. We don't trust God and we don't trust other people. And this is something we see at play in Genesis. If you're familiar with this beautiful part of the Bible, Genesis 2 ends with the writer saying, "The man and the woman were naked and they felt no shame." There was true communion at the end of Genesis chapter 2. But by the time we get to the beginning of chapter 3, because of their disobedience, what happens? They no longer trust God. They no longer trust one another, and they don't know themselves. And here's the thing I want to focus on with this reality of alienation. The person from whom we become most alienated is ourselves. We are alien from the me with whom I have to always live. Remember the question that God asks Adam? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? Now, notice his answer. And the man said, the woman whom you gave to me, she gave me the fruit of the tree and I ate it. Is there any recognition on Adam's part for his culpability? Nope. Not an ounce of remorse. But what does he do? God, it's your fault. If you had given me a better gal, this wouldn't have happened in the first place. And here's the thing that happens with alienation. You might know this in your own life. I'm an expert at it. It's called to blame and to shame the other. And that's exactly what's going on in this story. And that's what happens with alienation as we experience it in our families, as we experience it in our countries, as we saw with the G7 this weekend. Blame, shame, no ability to get together and to try to truly hear one another. And it causes such disruption, such difficulty in our world. And so one of the things we are invited to do is to cultivate what is called self-examination, where we're able to look interiorly into our souls and to better understand our motives and actions so that we can seek to be on the lookout for the waves of alienation. So here's the thing about alienation. It's the wave that tries to capsize Christ's ship from within. Affliction is that wave which seeks to capsize the ship from without. Affliction, what does it mean? It's the various forms of suffering that cannot be avoided while on life's journey. Affliction, if you study 2 Corinthians carefully, you will see that this is actually one of the overriding words. The whole letter is joined together by this word affliction. In chapter 1, St. Paul says the following. We do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. Listen to this. For we were utterly, unbearably crushed that we despaired of life itself. Then over in chapter 6, St. Paul writes this. As servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way through great endurance in afflictions, hardship, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless night, and hunger. Here's the point I'm making. In 2 Corinthians, St. Paul gives us the most detailed account of his own afflictions. And I find this verse to be staggering in its honesty. We were so utterly, unbearably crushed that we despaired of life itself. Now, who's saying this? The great apostle, St. Paul. I was despairing of life itself. Have you ever been there? Well, you are in good company. You are in the company of St. Paul, the great apostle. But listen to what he writes in the very next verse. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, so that we would rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. That's the point about affliction. When we're in affliction, we recognize I am no longer in control. I cannot keep all of these balls in the air. I'm dropping them. I cannot deal with what I'm facing. And St. Paul says what it brought him to was that recognition of Jesus risen from the dead, and that helped him to gain a refocus. Now, with this in mind, listen again to part of our passage from this morning. We do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight and momentary affliction is achieving for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. For we look at what cannot be seen. For you see, that which is seen is temporary, but that which is not seen is eternal. Here's the point. The only way we can deal with affliction, and it comes to every one of us in this world, we cannot avoid it. And it will either overwhelm us so that it will be like a wave that engulfs us so that we are breathless, or it brings us into a point where we have the perspective of St. Paul. Listen to what he said. This slight momentary affliction is achieving for us an eternal weight of glory that is beyond all measure. We can only make sense of suffering in light of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But when we have that perspective, we are able to navigate the troubled waters of affliction with an understanding that can help to see us through. And then finally in the gospel, here we have the most challenging wave of them all. It is so high that it can reach up to the mast. It is the wave of apostasy. What is apostasy? Apostasy is that understanding where a person rejects Jesus Christ. They reject their faith, and their hearts become so hardened that they say, I do not need him. And that's where our gospel is so important. For in it, we have one of Jesus' most difficult and troubling and confusing sayings. Every sin is forgivable, except the sin against the Holy Spirit. Now, why does Jesus say that in this context? It's very clear. The religious leaders were seeing all of the miracles that Jesus was doing, and they were saying he is in league with Beelzebul. Well, who in the world is that? That, for the Jewish people, was their understanding of the devil. And Beelzebul, it's kind of rude in English. It means prince of the dung. Can you imagine? They are saying of the Lord of glory, he's crap. That's what it means. And the point, of course, is Jesus is saying, get your heads screwed on straightly. How can you say that I am in league with the devil when you see what I'm doing? I've come into the strong man's house to bind him up. And you're saying now that I'm on that ship with that captain? How absurd. And so this is where he comes to this point, that the one unforgivable sin is that sin that rejects to see Jesus for who he truly is. Because if we reject the one who is the Lord of mercy, how can we receive mercy? Listen to how our catechism puts it. There are no limits to the mercy of God. But anyone who deliberately refuses to accept his mercy by repenting rejects the forgiveness of his sins and the salvation offered by the Holy Spirit. Such hardness of heart can lead to final impenitence and eternal loss. This is the authoritative teaching of the Roman Catholic Church. Every sin is forgivable, except the sin that says, I do not need Jesus Christ, or rejects him for who he truly is. And that is why apostasy is the most damaging and engulfing wave of them all. Through it, the heart can become intransigent, and it refuses Christ's mercy. And here's the thing, to tie this all together. When we experience in our lives alienation, when we experience in our life's afflictions, it can lead to apostasy. It can lead us to that point of saying, I am suffering so much, my life is so contorted and confused, where can God really be? And so today, the church calls us to a kind of vigilance that helps us to remember that we are this great ship that has been sailing through the seas of history for 2,000 years. And in every generation, this ship is being pounded by the waves of life's different stresses. But what I have done today, I hope, is to help you to spot those waves so that you can navigate through them. The waves of alienation, the waves of affliction, the waves of apostasy. And do you know what's beautiful? When we understand that this is the nature of the sea, we can hear Jesus say to us, "Who are my brother? Who are my sisters? Who is my mother?" That one who does the will of God is my mother, my brother, and my sister. That one who, as St. Paul can declare, "We do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly, unbearably crushed that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death so that we would not rely on ourselves, but on Jesus Christ, who raises the dead." This is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ.